Hello, and welcome to Podcast by the Peer, the podcast where freelance copywriters talk about all things freelancing and copywriting. Whether you're a seasoned copywriter or just dipping your toe into the world of words, pull up a deck chair and join us as we dive into the minds of some of our freelance favourites. I'm your host, Tom Davies, a freelance copywriter based in Brighton. And today, I'm joined by the window squeaker, Copycabana speaker, and secrets on how to get noticed by an agency leaker. It's the Copy or Die co-founder himself, Ben McKinney. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Oh, hi, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, Ben. Right then, how do freelance copywriters win more work with agencies? That is the topic for today's episode. And with the brilliant Ben and business partner Dave Harlan recently setting up Copy or Die, which we'll hear more about later, Ben's probably been through or going through the process of curating a little list of go-to freelance copywriters. But what is it he looks for in copywriters? We'll find out. But before then, Ben, can you tell our listeners who you are and how you became a freelance copywriter?
Yep, certainly. Well, I chose to be a freelance copywriter. I know that a lot of our freelance pals say they kind of fell into copywriting and fell into freelancing. But the truth is I chose both. The long version is that after I finished school, I wanted to be a sports reporter, but I didn't want to go to university. I was pretty set on that at a young age. I didn't want to do any more kind of standard education. So I talked my way into a job as a trainee journalist on the news desk of a small publishing company that ran two even smaller local newspapers. I progressed quickly, but the pay was abysmal and the hours were long. I was only 21 and found I wanted to, just felt stuck after a few years doing that. So I wanted to work less, see my friends more and travel the world. I knew a few people that worked for themselves, that were self-employed, and I really envied the flexibility they had in their lives. So I started a little window cleaning business, and the plan was to do work for a couple of months at a time, save up enough cash, go traveling for a few weeks, and then come back and do it all over again, kind of repeat. And I thought that I would do that for a couple of years, and then I'd end up getting a real job. And then 18 years later, I'm actually still managing that business. But when my son Baird was born in 2016, I decided I fancied a change. Mentally, I needed to do something different, but I still didn't want to go and get that real job. I wanted to do something where I was still in charge and had enough flexibility. So I retrained as a copywriter. I'd always enjoyed doing the marketing for the window cleaning business. I'd written a couple of websites. I got to do a little shout out to Tom Albrighton. I downloaded his free guide on how to write your own copy for your website when I was, well, it was probably 10 or 12 years ago now. And I used that twice for two different versions of the website. So anyway, I retrained, I did a couple of courses, and then had the idea that perhaps people would pay for this and I could combine those now ancient writing skills with the experience of running and growing a business. Baird just had his 7th birthday last week, and his birthday coincides with the birth of Copy or Die. So to bring everybody up to date, the copywriting agency that I've launched with my friend, famous copywriter and all-around nice guy, David Harland.
Yeah, what a legend Dave is. And happy birthday to your son as well. Yeah, Tom Albrighton, I think he was one of the first names I kind of stumbled upon as well when I entered the world of copywriting. So you're not alone there for sure.
Oh, he's so good. I've met him at a couple of Copywriters Unite evenings in Norwich. Yeah, he's just, well, just the best. Kind of when you talk to someone and you think, oh, I'm talking to one of the smartest people in the room. You feel like that when you're talking to Tom about marketing or about copies.
Yeah. There's a few people that I'd like to go meet in Norwich yourself, Tom Albrighton and Partridge, obviously, as well.
Well, I'm not sure about the other.
And so it's great to have you here, Ben. Before we get an update on Copy or Die, which is what I imagine most listeners are here for, I need to mention your talk at Copycabana back in 2017. And for any listener who hasn't watched your talk, which I'll link to in the show notes, can you tell us what it was about and how you landed such a brilliant gig right at the start of your copywriting career?
Oh, thanks for bringing it up. It was a great experience. It was about the transition from being a window cleaner to a copywriter. And it all came about because Andy Maslin, who was one of the organizers of Copycabana with Vicky Ross, liked the fact that I was a window cleaner. When I first started off when I started to retrain, I kind of dipped my toe into the world of social media. I hadn't had a Twitter account or had any kind of presence on socials. So I started dipping in just to find out a bit more about copywriting and started to find the little community of people that I'm still part of today. And anyway, Andy used to be quite active on there and always talked about the fact that his window cleaner earned more than most copywriters and that he felt that was wrong. Anyway, he used to run a training day in London called the Well-Paid Freelancer. At the time, I was still trying to work out if I should go on this training day. I felt like a bit of a fraud. I was kind of working out whether people would pay for me to write copy, whether I could make a go of it. Anyway, I am denied. And by the time I decided to book that day, it had sold out. And I was so annoyed with myself for being passive and not being assertive enough. And so I emailed him directly. I said, look, you always talk about your window cleaning earning more than copywriters. I'm a window cleaner, but I want to be a well-paid copywriter. Is there any chance you could squeeze me in on this day? And he wrote back and said, yes. And I think he liked my pitch. He booked me on the day and that was great. I had a great time on the day. I still use some of the lessons that I learned on that day in the way I deal with my clients. I met some other great freelancers. I remember Anna Gunning was there. She was brilliant. I met Mary Whitehouse as well. And then that evening in London, there was a Copywriters Unite evening. So Andy talked me into missing my train home and to going along to the meeting and to make some more connections. So I met Vicky, introduced me to Vicky and loads of other great freelancers. Copy Cabana, I think, was a few weeks away at that point. I hadn't booked a ticket, but a couple of days beforehand, at really short notice, somebody had pulled out and Andy and Vicky asked me to step in. I think they liked the idea that the window cleaning to copywriting story could be relevant to the audience and was interested. So it wasn't just a 10-minute talk. Again, I felt really put on the spot and wasn't sure what to do. Probably still had those feelings of maybe being a fraud and not belonging. But yeah, said yes and went and did it. And yeah, it was brilliant. I had a great day. Really enjoyed all the other talks as well. They're all online as well. So they're worth finding if people want to. But that just opened the door to the supportive copywriting community, I think, and gave me the belief that there could be a career in it after all. And I think that's probably the lesson I learned on that day was to be open to opportunities and to put myself out there, to be visible and to be more assertive. And that started with, you know, emailing Andy and saying, I should have booked this and I didn't. I wish I had. Can you squeeze me in? If I hadn't sent that email, then I'm not sure how the last 7 years would have gone, to be honest with you.
Wow. I guess that's just a bit of a nod as well to just the copywriting community in general, isn't it? That, you know, definitely. You sent that email, you got that opportunity and obviously it worked out really well for you.
Yeah, there's been two times, I think. So I've been freelancing on my own for, if you said 7 years from sort of 2016 to now, there's been a couple of times where should I just focus on one business rather than the other? Should I stop writing copy altogether? Am I enjoying it enough? Is this why I started? And I think it's probably only the fact that I had the freelance community to tap into, to just feel a part of, I suppose, that you're not doing something on your own, have that support and have the knowledge that you can access as well. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't. I don't think I'd still be running the two businesses if I hadn't had that to call on.
Yeah, of course. And here we are now, 6 or 7 years on from your talk. And you've recently set up a copywriting agency called Copy or Die. And for anyone who's not yet heard about your new venture, can you tell us how it came about and what's it all about?
Yeah, how it came about probably tagged into that theme of being open to opportunity, I suppose. So Dave and I had been friends online for quite a few years. I'd met him at one of the Copywriters Unite evenings in London, probably back in, well, I want to say 2018 or 2019. And we'd always kept in touch online and we're into the same comedy and just became kind of pals over shared sense of humor, I suppose. About a couple of years ago, I interviewed him. I did a little feature for my website that I interviewed him for. And just in the chat, we talked that one of the next things for him was to try and create some revenue, different streams of revenue in his business from things where he wasn't just doing the work himself. And we spoke about the fact that he gets loads of leads in from LinkedIn and probably only chose to work with one or two from every maybe 10 or 20 that came in because he was so busy on other stuff. I said, oh, if you're looking for more revenue, why don't you sell the leads? What are you doing with them now? He was just passing them around, just not acting on them at all. I said, why don't you sell them? He said, who would buy them? I'm not going to do his voice. I could do a little Liverpool accent. Who would buy them? I said, well, I'll buy them off you. Let's give it a try. So Dave would pass me a lead. I would action it. I had a little sales process that I would put into place and try and action it. If I converted the lead into a job, I would pay Dave a commission on that lead. And we did that for about 6 months and it worked really well. And what we found, there was a couple of things that worked really well and a couple of things that didn't. And we decided to meet and just have a little chat. I think we both had similar ideas that this process could be built out. At the same time, because I was busy with running both businesses, I'd started to outsource a lot of the writing. I felt like I got to the point where the thing I was really good at was converting a sale, setting the strategy with the client and setting up the project and getting a really strong brief. But because I was busy, actually then writing the content became quite pressurized. I didn't either have the time to put everything into it. And there's a couple of times where I didn't really do the job justice. If I say that through gritted teeth, I didn't do the best job I think I probably could have done for the client because of all the other time pressures that were going on, not just work, obviously family and everything that goes into life. So I'd started to outsource and get a little team of writers together from our freelance community that I could trust if a certain job came in, I knew X was good for this niche or Y was good for that niche. And Dave knew this, and we just kept on talking about building it out and what it could become. And I think at the start, so we met last October, we met in the middle, had a beer and just chatted about what we could do with it. And at the start, we had quite a narrow thought process of what this could become. And actually, as we've sat down and talked about it and looked at the industry, not just the advertising industry and the marketing industry, but also our copywriting industry and the people within it, we think there's an opportunity on both sides. So there's an opportunity for a copywriting agency that writes purely personality-led copy that really focuses on fun and on life and on personality. And then there's also an opportunity to work with the people that we love, that we're in awe of the talent in the copywriting community. There are people in our industry that we talk to every day online that are such brilliant writers. We were talking about somebody before, I'm not going to name them, but we mentioned somebody before we started the show. They're such a good writer. And we know that lots of people as well are having a tough time at the moment in doing the things that Dave and I are both really good at. Dave's really good at getting leads in because of his presence online. And between the two of us, we're really good at setting the strategy with the client, creating a really strong brief, creating the deliverables, and then managing the process. That's where my experience of running a business comes in. So with that in mind, what that gives the writer then is they don't have to worry about A, getting a client. They don't have to worry about onboarding the client. Don't have to worry about getting paid. We're going to pay really good rates. We're going to pay you on time. All they have to worry about is the thing that they love to do and the thing that they're really good at, which is writing the copy. So I think together, Copy or Die and the freelance writing community can be a really good team. So that's the whole reason behind it, really. We think that the opportunity within the industry for us to make an impact and also the opportunity to help out the people that we get on really well with and work with online.
I imagine there's a few freelance copywriters licking their lips right now because that just sounds really good. And I listened to Dave on a Call to Action podcast and Copy Crack podcast as well. And he mentioned that you're going to, where possible, you're going to do away with the NDAs. And also you're going to be paying the proper rates for proper talent, which is music to freelancers' ears. In your experience, do you think that might be a problem with agencies, these NDAs and just getting paid rubbish day rates? And you're positioning yourself, obviously, the other end of that spectrum. You're doing something completely different here.
Yeah, that's definitely our goal. I think having both come from a freelance background, we know the difficulties that freelancers can find when dealing with agencies, and we know the gripes that they have. In terms of NDAs, it's our goal. Whether we can accomplish it 100% will sometimes depend on the client. But I think it's on us to be really strong at this point because we want to be upfront with the client and say, look, we're going to work with the best people. It's a selling point for the client too, because we can say to them, you'll have experienced this before where a lead comes in and it's just not in your wheelhouse. You know, as a writer, you think, I'm not sure whether I can get my head around this niche or this subject or whatever. What we can do now is pair the right writer with the right client and work that way. We'll still handle all of the stuff. So we'll still handle the brief. We'll still handle all your payment terms and everything. From a writing point of view, if we can make that NDA thing disappear, we think that we'll remove something, one of the most frustrating things about being a freelance writer. I'm sure you've experienced it. You've worked really hard on a project for 6 months, creating lots of really good copy. It's hidden behind an NDA. You can't put it on the social media. You can't put it on your website. You can't say to other clients, look at what I've done. This is why I'd be a good writer for you. Not only does it suck the joy out of being a writer, the whole point of being a writer is that somebody reads the words that you write. It does your business a disservice because you can't then use that to grow and to get better. So if we can get rid of it, that's what we're hoping to do. There'll be times, I think, where perhaps there is sensitive information in some stuff where a client just says no, but on the whole, that's what we want to do. Yeah, and in terms of payment, again, we want to be a grown-up business. We want to run this thing in a way that makes the most of the people that do the work from us rather than work with us rather than the other way around. Everybody knows there's nothing more upsetting and frustrating than pouring your heart and soul into a project and then at the end having an issue with payment. So that's part of our process. We have strong payment terms with our clients, and we're going to pass those strong payment terms on to our freelancers as well.
Sounds amazing. Awesome. Ben, many of us are dying to know, can you tell us how close you are to launching Copy or Die? Do you have a date in mind?
Well, the agency is launched. We're working on projects. We've got a real strong position to come from. We've got a luxurious position to come from, really, because Dave's, you know, so active on social media and has such a strong presence with his email newsletter. We were able to launch in July of this year. We're recording this right at the end of October. But in July of this year, we did a soft launch, really, to Dave's email list and asked clients and businesses that were interested in potentially working with us to join a wait list. So we had amazing feedback, an amazing amount of businesses signed up for that. So that gives us that takes the time pressure off really in terms of getting the website done and doing all the things that you need to launch a business. So we are going. I think we expect the website to be up and running and for us to be publicly facing by the end of this year, certainly before Christmas. But yeah, we are running and we are looking for writers to work with us. So if you go to our website, www.copyordie.co.uk, you'll see on the homepage, just a yellow page with our logo on, our mascot, freelance Fearless Frank. But if you go to www.copyordie.co.uk/writers, if you're a freelance writer that wants to work with us and is looking for work, please fill in the form, tell us a bit about yourself and send us some examples of your work. And we'll put you on our list to contact if the right project comes up.
Nice. I'll be digging into that thought in just a moment, actually, Ben, how people can work with you. Before we get there, how has the setup process been? Have you had any challenges you've had to address, or has it been pretty smooth so far?
The challenge is time, I think, with everything. Dave and I have both got young children. So as you know yourself, when you've got a young family, there's always the time pressure that comes with that. We both obviously run our own business. Dave is still servicing his freelance clients. I'm still doing the window cleaning and I've got that business to run. So I've kind of moved off. I haven't done really anything on my freelance copy side for the last few months while we've been working on Copy or Die. It's been relatively smooth. We're both really aligned on what we think the agency can look like and how we want it to work. We've got the right help in at the right time. That's been really important too. Obviously, there's just the two of us. I'm in Norwich, Dave's in Liverpool. We do a lot on Zoom and a lot on WhatsApp. There's a lot of ideas flying around, but we've got the right people involved where we need to just to get a bit of clarity to bounce back some ideas off and that kind of thing. So it's been a year. It's exactly a year pretty much since we've had the first chat about doing it. And I think we probably thought it would take a little bit less time than it has, but we're also happy for it to take the amount of time that it takes to get it right and to get it looking the way we want before it's really out there.
Well, amazing, man. I think I'll speak for everyone, mate. Despite the success of Copy or Die, you're not allowed to give up window cleaning, Ben. Which is...
I mean, I spoke to a lot of people. So we just had CopyCon in London. I went last week and spoke to a lot of people. And a lot of people, all they want to talk about is window cleaning. And although the two things are really different, one of the things that I got frustrated with was just being a freelance copywriter. I don't mean it like that, but one of the things I thought that writing would be a real purely creative outlet. But what I found was whether you're cleaning a window or writing a blog for somebody, if you're just doing a service without the kind of connection based that we all want with a client to come, it can just be, you're just offering the same sort of thing, whether it's writing or cleaning a window. But what I will say is cleaning windows is the best thinking time. If you're stuck on a project, if you're stuck for some ideas, come down to Norwich and do a day with me window cleaning. And it's so monotonous, your brain can't help but go to some fun places. So yeah, it's not all bad.
Oh, I'd love to, man. Ben, so I imagine there will be chapters of copywriters knocking on the Copy or Die door for a brief or two. And with that in mind, I know you've told us how to get hold of you, but what is it you are looking for in a freelance copywriter? And can you give us any tips on how to get noticed by an agency in general?
Certainly for us, Copy or Die, we want to see personality. We want to produce work for clients that is full of personality. I think a lack of fear always comes into it. So when I was talking about Copy Cabana and getting in touch with Andy Maslin, I probably didn't know enough about Andy Maslin and Vicky Ross at the time to be scared about getting in touch with them. Perhaps if I'd been in the industry a bit more, I might have thought twice about it, emailing these, big figures in the industry. But not having that fear and being assertive enough to get out there and put your name in front of somebody, we like that. We've had a couple of people send us a handwritten letter. One had a funny poem on it and the other was just funny, made us laugh. We're immediately putting those people on the list. That was months ago, I think probably just after Dave had done the talk with Gasp. Those kind of things really stand. It's anything that makes you stand out. And that reflects really what we want the agency to be. We want to create work for clients that don't want to just be hidden in the mix. We want to create work for clients that want to stand out and look different. So it's not really any different for the writers that are getting in touch with us. If you can make yourself stand out and seem different, then you'll have a good chance of getting on the list.
Yeah, totally. Show people what you can do, not tell them, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. Well, there you go, listener. That's how you can possibly start working with Copy or Die. Ben, we have got a couple of listener questions for you as well, actually. The first of which is from freelance brand voice copywriter Jonathan Wilcock. He asks you, how do you present your work you know the client will instinctively feel uncomfortable with, but you're convinced it's right?
It's a good question. I feel like that's a question I'd quite like to ask Jonathan, to be honest with you. I think for us, we've talked a lot about thinking about the end right at the beginning. So when we're talking to a client, we're really desperate to find the right questions at the start of the process. And we want the client to buy into that process in a way that makes the job a collaboration. So we're at the moment, our main focus at the moment, just to give you an idea of where we're at in terms of building the business, is trying to create a briefing process that offers an insane amount of value, not just for us in the information that it gives us, but also for the client, in a way that the client really could then move on and say, do you know what? We've got the capability in-house to write this. We're more clear now than we ever have been on what our goals are. I think we spoke to a guy a couple of weeks ago. He's a business coach, and he's recently built an academy online, and he's worked with graphic designers and creative agencies and copywriters. And he said one of the things that shocked him about working with copywriters, he doesn't really know what he wants. He knows that he needs something written. He doesn't really know what, but he'd given the contract to somebody. They'd written something for him, and he said, I don't like that. And afterwards, when he reflected on it, he thought, why am I judging this? I'm the client. I shouldn't be the judge. I've hired an expert who should be able to tell me what, A, I need, and why they've delivered what they've delivered. That really struck a chord with me in terms of, can we switch the idea that the client is the ultimate judge of the copy? Obviously, we always talk about, we're not writing for you, we're writing for your audience. But how do we get it into a point where it's so clear that the client doesn't just fall back on saying, I don't like it? So that's the challenge. It's not easy, especially if you're a freelancer, because we're all desperate for leads. We're all desperate for work to come in. If a lead comes to us and says, quote me for X as a freelancer, you tend to quote them for X. And we build into the process a little period of time where we look at what they really need and say, we don't think you need this. We think you need this instead. I think it's probably going to be easier for us to do that as an agency than it would be a freelancer to do that, because you've obviously got the time pressure involved and you don't want to be giving away loads of your time for free before you've signed anything up. So it's not an easy question to answer from a freelancer point of view, but I suppose the clarity of what the client actually needs and balancing that against what the client wants is a really difficult one. Yeah, I've rambled on a bit there. I'm not sure whether I've answered Jonathan's question, but hopefully that's useful.
Yeah, oh, mate, definitely others. That's a brilliant answer. And I guess like an overarching theme with all that as well is just maybe just be a bit assertive with it as well, in the right way, of course. But as you say, people are leaning on your experience. They're paying you to direct them on the copy. So I'm sure it's valued by clients. It's just being assertive in places perhaps where they're not being brave enough with copy. Just really step up in those moments as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, definitely.
Got another question here. It's from copywriter, copy editor, and middle child, Mel Barfield. And Mel says, Ben has been a mentor to me, whether he likes it or not. Who has been his mentor and how have they helped his career?
Oh, that's nice of Mel to say. I don't think I've been a mentor to her. I think I've been like a freelance pal, but that's really kind that she thinks that. Yeah, I love Mel's writing. I think a little direct message to Mel. Be more assertive and get yourself out there a bit more. He's been a mentor to me. So definitely Andy Maslin at the start. You know, obviously I had that interaction with him that I've already spoken about. Following on from Copy Cabana, he was really happy for me to email him with questions. I quite often ran copy past him. I'd come up with something and say, is this any good? Almost. Yeah, Andy, Vicky as well. Andy and Vicky, it's really, you know, I feel incredibly lucky to have two people like that to say that I could drop an email to and ask a question and get an answer. I think that's what I was saying about the industry earlier, though. The community around, even though you've got these people involved that have had great success and are what you'd call a big name in the industry, they're always so happy to stay connected to everybody else in the community and to offer advice freely. So yeah, I would definitely say Andy and Vicky.
Amazing. Yeah, we're definitely not short of mentors in the copywriting world. I mean, for me personally, Jonathan Wilcock's been a huge mentor to me, and Joe Jeffries, he's always been there to answer a few questions as well, and I've needed it. So it's a brilliant community.
I love Joe.
Yeah, everyone loves Joe. Right. Okay, Ben, we've got to move on to our feature round. It's Name That Attraction, sponsored by Aroma, your go-to brand podcast partner. And with every guest, we ask them to come up with a name and strapline for a new attraction coming to Brighton Pier. It's all fictional, of course. Ben, my previous guest, Sarah Townsend, has set your attraction task, which is to come up with a name and strapline for the Waltzer. What have you got for us?
Oh, well, first, just say, talk about mentors. I remember chatting to Sarah at Copy Capital, which was the follow-up to Copy Cabana. I think that was 2018. Yeah, I had a drink with her the night before and asked her loads of questions. She was really generous with her time and loads and loads of knowledge. So quick shout out to Sarah. She's left me a real stinker. I found this hard, the Waltzer. It has been a long time since I've been on a Waltzer, I will say that. The last time we were at the fair, we went to one on the North Norfolk coast the back end of last summer. And Baird wanted to go on, and I managed to dodge it and send it on his auntie Jojo. So she went on with him instead of me, which I was really happy about. Anyway, I was thinking about like the feelings you might have when you're on the Waltzer. It's that intense mix, isn't it, of this movement along with the banging loud techno music. So I focused in on the music and thinking about Brighton, where you're from, and thinking about dance music got me to Norman Cook or Fatboy Slim. So I'm going to twist his name slightly, and my waltz is going to be called Fatboy Spin.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
So tagline-wise, there's a couple of options for a tagline based on some of his song titles. So because you're constantly spinning like this way and that on the waltzer, instead of right here, right now, thought you could have right here, left now. And if that's too cheesy for you, then I don't think it's one of his big hits, but he's got a song called Eat, Sleep, Rave, Repeat. So if right here, left now doesn't work for you, I'm going to go with Eat, Sleep, Ride, Repeat.
Oh, man. That might be in the top three, Ben. That's awesome. Well done, mate. Whilst you're here, would you like to set the new attraction task for my next guest, which is actually Mel Barfield?
Ah, your friend of mine, Mel. Mel, I want you to come up with a name and strapline for the Dodgems, the best ride at the fair, or the bumper cars, some people call them, don't they?
Finally, we've got the Dodgems. I love it. There you go, Mel. Your homework is set. Ben, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
You can follow Dave Harland on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So we've got the website copyordie.co.uk, which doesn't have much on at the moment other than that form. So if you're a writer and you want to work with us, please do go to copyordie.co.uk/writers and fill in the form. I am on LinkedIn, not very often, but you can follow me on there. I'm Ben McKinney, obviously. I very rarely go on X anymore. I tend to have a separate, I've got a window cleaning account, which I use for football, but that's about it. But I can occasionally be found on Twitter or X, which is just Ben J. R. McKinney. You can email me, ben@copyordie.co.uk. I like in-person better than social media.
Or even a letter.
Right to Dave.
Right to Dave. Awesome. I'll drop those links in the show notes. Ben, thanks so much for joining me, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, matey. Loved it.
And if you found this episode useful, do consider leaving a review for the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you want to join me for a chinwag about freelancing or copywriting, do drop a line at coastalcopy.co.uk. And I'll see you next time on Podcast by the Pier.